I suspect that some, perhaps many of you, have not seen The Simpsons movie, which debuted in 2007. But I'll do a recap of a very poignant scene. In the story, the town of Springfield becomes seriously polluted. Homer, of course, is the main contributor as he dumps silos of pig manure into Lake Springfield. At a church service that weekend, Grandpa Simpson falls into a trance and begins to repeat ominously, "Epa, Epa." Then he prophesies that a great cataclysmic event will soon occur in Springfield. Judgment then falls, literally, when the Environmental Protection Agency, Grandpa's EPA, drops an enormous bubble over the town, containing the pollution and incarcerating the town's inhabitants. The town erupts in panic. The patrons of Moe's Tavern, which is located right next to the church, Reverend Lovejoy's Springfield Church, they run out of the tavern, as does the congregation of the church. And they all look up to the sky and realize this apocalyptic judgment. In terror, the bar crowd runs over and into the church, apparently an act of repentance and fear of God. The terrified church crowd also runs back, but instead, they go into the tavern. Apparently, in an attempt to drown their fears and escape the reality of this judgment that has fallen on them. We all have fears. If we examine our lives in this time of Advent, this season of preparation for the coming of the Lord, we examine our lives in His coming, whether it be by our natural death or His actual second coming. That's what we do each Advent. There's a twofold character the universal norms for liturgy tell us, for it is a preparation for the solemnities of Christmas in which the first coming of the Son of God to humanity is remembered, and likewise a time to look forward to Christ's second coming at the end of time. On the screen, you can see the Pantocrator, the great image of the Last Judgment, Christ coming to judge the earth. That icon is displayed in beauty at the National Shrine of the Basilica of the Immaculate Conception in Washington, D.C., which we see every January when we go there for the March for Life. It's an awesome God that we serve, and He sifts our lives. He sifts us with His winnowing fork to separate the wheat from the chaff, to rid us of sin, to bring us to Himself. Advent, as you know, is a penitential season. This is a time to seek the Lord, a time to draw close to the Lord. We start this Advent in Luke's cycle with the end. Stephen Covey, the late great author that had several books on management and company development and so on, he said there was a principle. He said that you begin with the end in mind. That's a very fitting lesson that comes out of our gospel today. Jesus shows us we begin with the end in mind. Of course, Jeremiah is telling us today that the Messiah will come. A just shoot from the stock of David will come forth, telling of his coming, his first coming. However, as you notice, the readings from Thessalonians and the gospel squarely address the second coming. St. Paul encourages us to strengthen our hearts and be blameless in holiness at the coming. That would be the second coming of our Lord. Blameless in holiness. That almost sounds like saint, doesn't it? But you know, the beauty of this is this life, there are only two kinds of us. There's saints and there's ain'ts. It's that simple. He's called us to be blameless in holiness. Because when we face our Lord, His eyes will penetrate our soul, and He will see what is in our heart, and He'll know us. And in love, He will sift out all of that that remains. That's our great church doctrine of purgatory. In His burning love, He peels away the sinfulness, the reluctance, the things that we regret that we didn't do, the things that we did that we shouldn't have. And He brings us into His presence, and His burning love ignites our lives. Today's gospel is a beautiful summary of a broad sweeping historical perspective. Jesus speaks of the destruction of the temple, which occurred in 70 AD to come, and He speaks of the desolation and destruction of the city of Jerusalem. And then He ends with the passage that we have in our gospel today of the end of the world itself. And it's portrayed in this magnificent apocalyptic imagery. The signs would be in the sun, the moon, and the stars. The roaring of the sea and the waves and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And He says, "For that day will assault everyone who lives on the face of the earth." No one will escape the scrutiny, the vision of our Lord when He comes again. And the world, He says, will be filled with panic, dread, commotion, and fear, and many will become desperate, filled with terror and anxiety. In fact, Jesus said specifically, people will die of fright in anticipation of what is coming upon the world. But to us, He says, stand up, look up, for your redemption has come. To stand with that confidence in the Lord is our challenge in this life. The past few weeks, I've been surveying the great saints in my senior theology class at Lumen. We started with Dante's climb up Mount Purgatory, the shedding of pride and envy and sloth and wrath and all of the capital sins. And on top of that mountain, of course, is the figure of Adam and Eve. And Adam and Eve are there at the top of this Mount Purgatory, which represents our earthly pilgrimage in getting closer to God. They are there to show us that there is an earthly yet imperfect paradise that we can reach in this life in God. And then we move to St. Teresa of Avila in her interior castle, where she shows how Christ comes to us in the outer rooms, and He comes into our inner rooms, and finally to that inner, beautiful, crystal clear inner chamber where He intimately opens His heart to us, and we open our heart to Him. And then we move to St. Bernard, who gave us his great imagery of the ladders, of climbing the ladder. He started with Benedict's ladder of humility, and then he came up with the counter, which was the ladder of pride, where he displays the various levels of pride, where we sink from this unhealthy curiosity which questions God's will, God's commandments, and we sink all the way down this ladder to the very depths of habitual sin. And then last week we did a survey of Thérèse, the little flower, how she beautifully states that we're all different. We're all different, and we all have various colors. That's what makes flowers beautiful, that not that they're all roses. We all can't be roses, she says, because then the rose would lose its beauty of its contrast with all the other beautiful colors. Our place, and being acknowledging before God that we have a place in His kingdom, and our peace and our perfection comes in finding what that is and doing it, and being perfected in holiness. And then We are to come to this point where we can stand before Christ with confidence, not in our own abilities, but in what he has lived in and through us in our lives. The day will come. Will we be ready? Some of us have time to prepare for our departure from this life. Sometimes it isn't that clear or that easy. We don't know when that day will come. But whether it comes by our death or whether the second coming comes by its actual event of Christ returning to the earth, it will happen. Jesus tells us, beware. Do not spend your lives in dissipation. Losing all of the good energy of your life and wasting it on worthless pursuits. Beware. Be vigilant. Watch where we're going. Watch our lives. Look where we are going. And pray for the strength to be able to stand before the Son of Man at his coming. Each Advent, Jesus comes to us again, and we remember and celebrate his first coming, and as the new year unfolds, again he is born in us, in his church, and we relive this divine mystery of the liturgical year as it spirals deeper and deeper into our lives, transforming us into his image and likeness, preparing us for his second coming, whether that be, as I've said, at our death, which is most likely, or at the coming of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who is to judge the earth. And if he comes back in our lifetime, don't run to Moe's. Come here. God bless.